Hello, good afternoon all. We've heard a very powerful sermon from Becca, and after listening to her, it's almost like I shouldn't say anything. We should just go home. But then I'm not here to sermonize, and I'll keep it really snappy. Basically, what I'm going to be talking about will be about the scriptures that spoke to me and how it has influenced my life over the years and until this very day. So, to begin with, I've never been someone who's very particular about reflection. In fact, I don't even review my answers after writing an examination. It may not be very good. I've also believed that the choices I made in the moments were guided, and that second-guessing them would only lead me astray. But looking back now, I realized that logic doesn't quite hold up when taken literally. But I trusted that God, that the Spirit of God was leading me. People often say, trust your instincts. But in my case, I would say, trust the Spirit. Preparing this talk, however, stirred something deeper in me. It made me reflect. If I truly reflect, I had to think deeply about my life, looking back from the early days to where I am today, and how God has really loved me, not just me, but my entire family. His guidance has carried us through life in ways we've never expected, and he continues to prepare a glorious future for us, even when we can't see it yet. So we all know the story of Job, how he was tested, how God allowed him to be handed over to the devil, and how everything he had built was stripped away. Yet in the midst of unimaginable loss, when even his wife and closest friends urged him to curse God and die, Job stood firm. He spoke words that have become the foundation of my faith, that's the very fulcrum on which my life rests. So in the book of Job chapter 19, verse 25, he declared, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand at the later day upon the earth." Actually, the A path is something that actually stuck by me. Whenever I go through any challenge, one thing that rings in my head is, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." So let's get a bit into context about the life of Job. Job was described as a blameless and upright man, yet he was plunged into unimaginable suffering. He lost his wealth, all his children, his health. He was covered with painful sores. So to make matter worse, his friends Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar came not with comfort, but with accusations. They insisted Job must have sinned to deserve his punishment. Their theology was simple: suffering equals guilt. But Job knew he was innocent and was desperate to understand why God allowed such torment to come upon him. By the time we got to the chapter 19, Job was very emotional. In fact, he was emotionally wrecked. He felt abandoned by God. His friend had turned against him. His body was broken and his reputation was in ruin. In the verse leading up to verse 25, Job laments that even children mock him and his closest companies has forsaken him. He pleads for pity, not judgment. Then comes verse 25, a sudden radiant burst of hope. "For I know that my Redeemer lives." So despite everything, Job clung to the belief that God, his Redeemer, would vindicate him. So in ancient Hebrew, a redeemer was a family protector, someone who would defend your rights and restore your honor. Job expresses faith that God ultimately stands for him even after death. So even if he never got vindicated in life, even after his death, God was really going to show up for him. He really had this solid faith in God. Did I suffer like Job? No. But that passage really is something that rings in my heart every time. So this passage has helped me to stay calm through every challenges I've faced. No matter the storms, the disappointments, the failures, It's helped me to remain patient and to trust that he who began a good work in me will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, as written in Philippians 1 verse 6. I don't know about you, but my life has been full of ups and downs, wins and losses. I'll leave my background out of the story. My wife has talked about her own background, but I'll just leave it by the corner. So I've lived with confidence that no matter what comes my way, my life is in God's hands. So I've relocated twice across countries, and I've moved across states in Nigeria. Like Becca, she said she has moved like 30 times. It's a whole very big number of times. But me, I've moved across states several times in Nigeria, and I've moved countries twice. You know, very challenging, isn't it? So Cameroon turned out, all right, when I got a job in Cameroon, I hesitated. I wasn't sure what my future would look like. No family, no friends. But my elder sister and her husband encouraged me, believing I'd thrive and perhaps even move to the United States for greater professional opportunities. So after much convincing and, hesitation, I went to Cameroon. So Cameroon turned out to be a blessing from the moment I landed. I received a scholarship to complete my master's program, you know, for which I had been denied, you know, before. Okay, let me bring it to context. Prior to going to Cameroon, I had a scholarship to go to South Africa to complete my master's program over there. But for some reasons, the embassy did not grant my visa. They didn't approve my visa, even though it was a scholarship. So by the time I went to Cameroon, the organizing body transferred my scholarship to Cameroon, where I was already working. So it was like I was working and I had my scholarship at the same time. So it was the first, you know, big miracle that happened. And you can imagine after you have, you know, I've lost hope. I was like, okay, this one is all gone. Yet God brought that, that favor, and it located me right there at Cameroon. So in Cameroon, I met wonderful people who made the country feel like home, and there God established me, giving me my beautiful wife to love and my lovely son to father. As family came, priorities changed. We noticed that the education gap between Nigeria and Cameroon was really, you know, wide. Many Nigerians there sent their children back to Nigeria for school, which divided the families. We wanted to stay together and give our children the best education, so we started planning to leave the country. Canada was our desired destination. We started the process, but Wes and my university had verification challenges. So while waiting, we discovered the Global Talent Visa. My wife applied, and within 2 weeks, we had our visa. We hadn't planned to come here, but God planned for us to be here. So one phrase we kept hearing was, a vision whose time has come. You'd expect that once the vision arrives, everything would go smoothly, but no. I did a few jobs, actually. I worked at a nearby printing house for 2 weeks, and I worked at Sainsbury's for 3 months, and most of the time I've been working as a part-time teaching assistant. And of course, it's supposed to be a reason to worry, isn't it? After moving, when you heard the voice that a vision whose time has come, it would have been really worrying. But no, I held on to that, to the confidence that God is able to do as exceedingly and abundantly above all we think or imagine. So when anxiety tried to creep in, I clung to Philippians 4 verse 6, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayers and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It was a constant reminder to pray rather than to fixate on issues I can't fix. So 2025 came with great news. I got a placement for teacher's training, which is going to start tomorrow at Barbican Skate, a school I learned that Pastor Steve attended. I also landed a lecturing job at QAHE, a UK-based private higher education provider and a division of QA Limited. QA is a leading provider of professional training qualifications across the UK. All right. So I got a job there as a lecturer, and I received my offer in January. Just wait for the plot twist. I received my offer in January, and my start date was February 6th. But after visiting the school and receiving my work laptop, I wasn't allocated any courses. No clear communication came through. I contemplated returning the laptop and considering myself jobless, you know, focusing on my part-time teaching assistant role. I even thought of changing careers, you know, but my wife said, God might really have destined you to be a teacher. Now, I don't agree less. August proved to me, like Gila said the other time, who received a sign in his horticulture business when God blessed him with a client, you know, I got a student. I'm now preparing for BTEC through a platform called SuperProf. QAHE finally allocated courses to me after 6 months of probation. My probation ended in August, and they just allocated courses to me. And I'm also beginning teacher's training tomorrow. This is a sign that I was meant to be a teacher, even if I have to agree at the moment. Yeah, I have to be a teacher. Why? So why did I even doubt my wife? All my work experience has been in education, sincerely. Even when I started a printing and advertising business in Cameroon, my major clients were schools, institutions. So now I believe God made me to teach, to empower young people with the practical knowledge and in-depth theoretical underpinning they need to serve organizations, build their own organizations, and become self-reliant. So all of this make me realize that my Redeemer truly lives, and I should always lean on his promises. One of my favorite songs is, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. For those in the choir, they know the song very well. I don't know whether you know the song. Can I sing it?
Yes.
All right. The song says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Then the bridge is another beautiful part of it. Yeah, the bridge says what? I saw the Lord and he heard me. Yeah. I saw the Lord and he heard me and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard me and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. So that's the song. I trust in God, and God has never failed me. He has always proved himself to be my Redeemer, no matter the storms I've gone through. So today I want you to know that your Redeemer is nearby. He sees everything you're going through. Doesn't matter the challenges you're going through. He sees it all. And I want you to know that he will come through for you and he will never fail you. Thank you.